Last week we discovered that the person you lie to the most is yourself. You lie to yourself the most. Do you know what the biggest lie we tell ourselves is? It is more is better. More is better. Is always more better. More better. What if the stuff that you have is keeping you from the life that you want? Now today we're going to look at the habit of simplifying when less is better. And remember, we're in the How's Your Heart series. And by the way, this side of the balcony, I think by percentage, has the most people present here today. So let's hear for the balcony. All right. You guys, pretty well. You guys, not so much. You guys, it's kind of bare up there today. And if you don't know and you're joining us online today, we are experiencing Snowmageddon in Indiana. Snowmageddon is what I've entitled this. And we don't even have an inch of snow yet, but you would have thought that we had 12 inches of snow, and some of you stayed home because you're afraid. And if you're a Hoosier, 1 inch, come on. 1 inch is all we got. Now, if you're living in Florida or Tennessee, I can understand. If I went to college in Tennessee, and 1 inch closed the world down in Tennessee. And if you live down in Tennessee, you'd understand why. Because those Tennessee drivers, they can't drive on snow. It is scary out there. And even as an Indiana boy, Hoosier, down there, I wouldn't get out on the snow because I was afraid not of the snow, but the Tennessee drivers. It was scary. But if you're here today, and I see a bunch of you, I'm preaching to the choir, I am so happy you're here. You have braved Snowmageddon today, and we are in a series called How's Your Heart? And we're doing a heart check at the beginning of the year to kind of start the year off right, because if you get your heart right, I think everything else goes right. And so today we're going to look at Acts chapter 27, if you have your Bibles or your tablets. And in Acts chapter 27, Paul is on a ship, and the ship is heading to Rome. Remember, he got convicted, he didn't get convicted, but he appealed to Caesar because the tribunal that was in Jerusalem was set up against him. They wanted to kill him, and so he appealed to Caesar. He ended up in Caesarea Philippi, and then he had to appeal to Caesar again because he wasn't getting a fair shake because he really was innocent of what they were charging him for, but he appealed to Caesar, and unto Caesar he had to go. And the only way to get there was to go by ship on the Mediterranean Sea. And as he was traveling with his Roman centurion guard, thank you. Somebody said, good job. I feel good when somebody affirms me like that. He was on this ship, and just so you know, apostles of God, people of God experiences storms in their life, much like unto Snowmageddon that we're having today. And he hit the storm was they were the ship was hit by a storm. And what's funny was here Paul was on this ship, and they were heading and they were on this Mediterranean cruise. And he said, "Hey guys." He said to the captain and to the owner, but again, you got to remember that he was a prisoner, so he might even been in chains, and he was saying, I don't think it's a good idea to sail because our lives are going to be threatened, and you might even lose the cargo. So in that moment, he was being a prophet of God, but they didn't pay him no mind. Would you? Hey, you know, you're in prison, or you're being guarded by a centurion. I don't think you're... credibility is very high. Is basically he was ignored. And so here they were on this ship. They were being tossed and turned by a Euryclodon, which is a northeaster, and it was awful. And can you imagine, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise ship, but a normal cruise ship in the open ocean will pitch about 15 feet up and down. Sort of like that. Now, this was not a cruise ship. I mean, cruise ship today is like a floating block. is what the way I look at it. They are humongous, beyond imagination to me. And this was just a little ship, and it was getting torn up, rocked. The world was being rocked by that ship. I hope that you even get a little seasick just thinking about this little ship in this Northeaster. So in Acts 27, Paul's on a ship, beaten down by a storm. The crew thought they'd die. These were sailors that knew what they were doing. They thought they would die. And after, they hadn't eaten for 14 days. Can you imagine not eating for 14 days? I've never been there. 14 days without eating. Paul broke bread and said, and gave thanks. He said, guys, you need to eat something to survive this. If you don't eat now, you're not going to survive. And so in verse 37 of Acts chapter 27, here's what we read. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. This was a cargo ship that was carrying grain, carrying wheat, maximally loaded. They were throwing it off the ship. Why lighten the ship? Why lighten the ship? Well, because if they didn't, they would die. It was so heavy laden, it was so loaded up that it would have sank. So you got to ask the question there, when they had eaten enough, well, how much is enough? What is enough? And enough is when you have what you need. Enough is when you have what you need. So today we're going to look at our hearts, and we're going to learn the heart habit of how to practice the habit of simplifying your life. Today I want to teach you how your life could be simpler. How might your life be better with less? Could your life be better with less? And here's what I'm saying. Living with less creates time and space to discover what really matters. Through decluttering and focusing on the best things instead of all the things, you can create life with more savings and less debt, more health and less stress, more space and less stuff, and more joy with less obligation. Now I want you to say to yourself, say it out loud with me, I have enough. Look to the person on your right and tell them, you have enough. Look to the left and say to them, you have enough. And they may say to you, mind your own business. The problem is, you don't believe you have enough. Now let me just say, as your preacher, I struggle with this a little myself. I do. And as I prepared this message, I had to say, now Chris, you have a lot of stuff. And in fact, you're buying more stuff as you are preparing this message. You don't need to aim in there. So how do you talk to people about stuff when you have a lot of stuff too? And let me just say, we really can't tell one another when enough is enough, but we know in our heart, and we need to allow God to speak to us about what is enough. Pray with me, if you will. God, give me less of what doesn't matter, and God, give me more of what does matter. And how do I balance that? Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you might ask yourself, where's my heart? And remember, if you want to change your life, change your habits. And if you want to change your habits, let God change your heart. And it all starts with our hearts. But here Jesus said in this passage, don't store up, don't accumulate, don't hoard. So if we want less of what doesn't matter, what do we do? And the Hebrew writer writes it this way. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So as we focus on Jesus, we take away those things that would slow us down. Now, like those that were traveling with Paul on that ship, they lightened the load and they threw off everything that was unnecessary. I would encourage you to throw out stuff as if your life depends on it. Why? Because it does. The stuff that gets in the way of the eternal needs to be thrown away. Throw out everything you haven't used in this last year. That's what I would challenge you to do. Now, I hope that mentally in your mind you're saying, like I'm saying to myself, yeah, but I gotta have that. I need some of that stuff. But do we have stuff that we haven't touched in a year that we don't need? Is our closets overstuffed with stuff that we don't need? I have my own walk-in closet. I just want you to know. It's not completely full, but it's almost. And there's stuff I haven't touched in there for over a year that I will never wear again, that I need to get rid of. And I need to look through my life, as you probably need to look through your life and say, what do I need, what do I don't need? Now, I'm a tool guy. I might not have touched a tool in a year. That doesn't mean I don't need it or I won't need it on my next job, because there's certain phases of construction you go through and then you might not touch it for a while. And so I've got to consider that. But sometimes I have duplicates and triplicates of tools because I've been in a spot where it was more money for me to drive home to get my tool than it is to go to the hardware store and buy another tool because I forgot it. I don't know if you've ever been there. And so I can't tell you, you can't tell me, but the Lord can speak to everyone's heart, my heart and your hearts, and tell you, do you have enough? And pray, God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. And what really does matter is that which will go into all eternity. The Ecclesiastes writer writes it this way. Solomon writes it this way. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better one handful with peace than two handfuls with toil. Have you ever been there? I have. Where you're chasing stuff, chasing a job, chasing to get things done, chasing to meet your own expectations, and it's not happening the way you want it to, and you're frustrated, you're grumpy, you're upset, you're not meeting the deadline that you've set in your own mind. That's chasing. To have more of what matters most, you need to really know what matters most. So you need to define what matters most. And you might be asking, well, how? How? What if you only had 1 month to live? 30 or 31 days? You pick the month. What would matter most? You only have 30, 31 days to live. What would matter most? Would you invest in more stuff and your time in more stuff? Or would you stop and value the relationships that you had more? The most meaningful things in life are not things. They aren't. They are the relationships that you have that you will take into all eternity. Better is one handful with things that matter than two handfuls with things that don't matter. Give me less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. I have enough because I have Jesus. I have enough. The Apostle Paul writes it this way in Philippians 4, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Some of you have Jesus and still want more. Why? Because Jesus is still in the background of your life. Jesus is second place. How do we cure that? How do we remedy that? How do we solve that? By putting Jesus in the forefront of your life. You got to understand that Jesus is just not a historical figure that lived back then and there. He is alive and he is present in our hearts today. Jesus should be and it can be our closest friend, our counselor, our confidant, and our comforter. He is ever present. He is with you right now. Something starts to change in our hearts and our lives when we understand what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's talking about the idea of contentment, of not whether you have a lot or a little, whether you're hungry or you're satisfied with food, we have enough. We can be content with what Christ has allowed us to have. It doesn't matter what I have Jesus, and he is all that I need. Everything. Have you learned the secret of being content? It's all about Jesus. Doing all things through Christ. That means everything. The habit of simplifying is just making our lives simpler. And I think every one of us could say, my life could be simpler. It doesn't need to be this complicated. How can I be okay with less? How to want less and be happy about it? First of all, get clear about what is important to you. And understand your triggers. My trigger is acme.com. It is a tool website. That is a trigger for me. Decrease your exposure to the temptations to want less. That back in the day, when our kids were little, we didn't have television. We only watched VHS tapes, and we limited. And there wasn't an internet at that time. Believe it or not, there was something, a life before all of that. And so they didn't watch TV, they didn't see commercials. So they didn't know what they wanted for Christmas. We would ask them, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. That was a great time in their lives. We took the Sunday newspaper, and you know how they have all those ads in the middle of it? We would display them for them and say, circle the things that you might want for Christmas for Santa to bring you. I got to be careful there. That's all I'm going to say. And they would circle stuff, and so that's how they got to Christmas. Decrease your exposure to the temptations and want less. Declutter your home. Practice gratitude daily to want less. Folks, if you got out of bed this morning, your feet did not hit a dirt floor, you have more than 90% of the world. You are affluent. I hate to break that to you. You may not feel that way, but you are very wealthy. Learn to let go of toxic thoughts, especially more is better, and then wait before buying things to want less. God, give me less of what doesn't matter and give me more of what does matter. This last summer, and I think I've told you this before, but I want to say it again. Someone came to me and said they wanted to give significantly, wanted to make a difference, wanted to do something for our community to the least of these, basically is what they were saying. And it was an anonymous gift of $120,000. And I just shared with them a few things, and I just felt very grateful that I got to be part of this experience. And so they wrote a check for $120,000 to the church, and then they divided it four ways. And all the ministries come through this church, and we support as a church together. Clay County Benevolence, Clay County Food Pantry, Cornerstone Christian Academy, and then, you know, a fourth of it went to our bathroom remodel. And so this last few weeks, I got to sit down with those folks of those ministries and give them a check for $30,000. And they were moved, and they cried, and they were so ecstatic for what they could do for the kingdom of God. And when they cried, I cried. I was moved. And I was inspired by this gift. I got to write a thank you note to the giver of the gift, who doesn't even attend our church. It's not, you know. But it was directed through our church. It was such a great opportunity. But I want to say that I told them, I'm just a delivery boy. I had nothing to do with this. But it was so awesome to see that it was invested to change lives, to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Now, I get, most of us don't have $120,000 to give away like that. But each of us have something that we can give. And I think what's cool about those ministries, especially Clay County Benevolence and Clay County Food Pantry, is they know the people, they minister to the people, they experience them often enough, and they just don't give the money away and throw it at people like our government does sometimes. And sometimes we create ministries where a ministry doesn't need to be created. Sometimes when we see a need or a kid that's hungry or something to be done, we don't have to create this huge ministry. We just need to do it ourselves. That if God has given us the ability and the opportunity, then we need to handle that individually ourselves and take that on to make a difference in someone's life. Whether it's a lot or little, we can do something, each one of us individually. Why? Because life is too valuable, the calling is too great, God is too good. Don't waste your life on what doesn't last. Invest in the kingdom of God. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. Do you have enough? How's your heart? Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal Father, we are grateful for this time. And Father, we're thankful for our stuff. And Father, as we each one deal with our own hearts and our possessions and what we have and what we need and what is enough, we know that in Jesus Christ we have enough. Father, help us to be content in all circumstances, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, we ask that we, each one of us, will invest in the kingdom of God, what you call us to, and to where you call us to do what you need us to do, that we would glorify you in our lives. Father, just now we pray for those that need to make a decision for Christ. And Father, we just ask that you would do your work. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.